Boomer bucket lists might include spending 2 or 3 weeks abroad in England, Australia, France, Germany. This episode is about spending 2 or 3 months in Italy.
Let's peek inside the mind of a boomer. This is Boomer Randomness, a podcast dedicated to the baby boom generation, with random observations about boomer life from boomers, including topics like music, movies, memories, marriage and divorce, retirement, bucket lists, kids and grandkids, travel, and a whole lot more. Here's your boomer host, Bernie Lucas.
One of the top 5 most listened to episodes of this podcast so far was about travel in retirement. My friend Heidi Phillips was a guest in that episode last year, and she talked about spending months in Italy. She dropped by recently to tell me about her most recent Italian adventure. So Heidi, tell me about your most recent extended stay in Italy and how it compares to some of the previous ones.
Last year, I landed in Italy early September of last year and stayed and left December 9th. So it was 3 months. A couple things were different than the first time I did it. First thing was that because I went in September and not first day of July, the weather was much nicer.
Yeah.
So I would highly recommend to anyone, do not go to Italy in the summertime. Not in July, August.
Right,
no.
Right.
Just it's unbelievably hot. I stayed in the same Airbnb that I had stayed in the year before. I had thought about changing, but when I started doing comparison shopping on how much the units were for the time I was looking at, this guy was still had the best price. Yeah. And I figured, I already know the landlord. I'm familiar with the apartment. So I went ahead and did so, same place.
Yeah.
Nothing to really get used to there. In fact, the second time I knew some of the little nuances about the apartment, like the refrigerator has some corks. Anyway, so that was, there was no adjustment period. I just sort of walked in and unpacked and went about kind of daily life, I guess.
Yeah. Was this your second extended stay there, or I thought there were more?
There, I've been other times prior to, I guess, 2 years ago now. The longest I had been was 3 weeks.
Okay.
So this was the second really long trip there.
Yeah. And you were in the Florence area?
I stayed in Florence. I have a friend that lives there that had moved originally from Tennessee, that just decided she was moving to Italy and up and did that. And right. So she lives there. So that was helpful. And so we did a lot of travel by train to some of the little towns, within a couple hours of Florence to get out into the countryside and see a little bit different places, different things. Yeah.
What is Florence like? I mean, I've seen pictures.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful. The classic picture you see, if you see a picture of Florence, is the picture of the big cathedral, which they call the Duomo.
Yeah.
So that's the classic picture you see. But the architecture is, I think, is beautiful. Florence is a very touristy city. So during the high season, which would be the summer months into going through till about October, there are where the main attractions are in the city, just mobs of people. So it's not, to me, not that pleasant. It was nice in October when the crowd started to thin out, but that didn't stop me from revisiting places, but
sure.
It's just a lot of people. It is the place to go if you are interested at all in Renaissance art, because Florence was the birthplace of the Renaissance.
Right.
So there's an amazing museum there, the Uffizi, which has all the classical pieces of art, paintings, sculptures, whatever. It's just, I can't even describe it. It's just beautiful to me, you know? And what I've discovered was that some of the best artwork is actually in the old churches. That you go in and you see, there's one in particular that's my favorite place. And I go, every time I go back, I go there and they charge a small fee to go through there, but you can stay as long as you want. But there are literally floor to ceiling frescoes. And you from here going up to the ceiling, and then you're having to look up to see. And it's just amazing that date back to the 1300s, 1400s. So that's always impresses me. It never fails to just kind of take my breath away, I guess.
Now, you're not of Italian heritage, but what got you into Italy?
I think it was because when I was in high school, I think I was in 11th grade, I was taking a literature class, and we did a period of time when we studied art. I don't know why we were studying art in a literature class, but at any rate, we were studying art, yeah. And I just got very interested in it. And so it was a bucket list trip for me, and it took me till I was 60 to make it there, but I did get there, and I keep going back. So yeah, it's interesting because my heritage is actually German. Both my parents are German,
yeah.
So you would think I would be more interested in maybe being in Germany, spending time in Germany, but not so much.
When you were there for extended periods, what's your typical day like?
A typical day would be I get up, I joined a gym, because there was one within a 20-minute walk from where I was living. So I'd get up, walk to the gym, walk back, do the same thing you do, right? Take a shower, eat breakfast. You know, it's my typical day was sort of like what it would be here. I did a lot of walking because I did not have a car.
Yeah.
So I would usually plan, weather depending, I'd plan to visit certain museums or revisit places I had been or take some of these side trips with this friend of mine. But the typical day was really not that exciting. You know, go to the grocery store, watch TV, watch Netflix, because Italian TV is a little difficult if you don't speak. And I mean, I'm learning the language, but after a while you want to just hear English.
Right.
So take my laptop with me and I'd watch Netflix and Amazon Prime on my laptop so I could.
You were taking lessons there?
Yes, still am. It started when I was there on the 3-week trip, which was, I think, 2019. It was a year before COVID. And I planned a 3-week stay and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to be here anyway. I should try to learn some Italian because maybe I'm going to live here someday. So I signed up for a language school, and it was 4 hours a day for 2 weeks, which was really brutal because I didn't know any Italian at all.
Yeah.
And after when I left after the 2 weeks, I had asked the school, I said, can I continue to take lessons online? And they said, sure. And so I still have the same teacher. Then we have a lesson once a week. And still working at it. It's harder at this age, at an older age, to learn. Our memory is not what it was when we were in our 20s.
Yeah. Do you have anybody here to practice with?
I don't, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's why I think I haven't made the progress I would like to have made.
Yeah.
I'm going to be going back in May, but I am going to be doing some research into, for example, like see if I can find some meetup groups or groups of people just to that get together just to speak Italian if that's out there. Probably is, I'm sure.
I can suggest one, actually.
Okay, great.
There's something in Bethesda called the Italian American Cultural Society, and they have lessons, but then they also have groups that that can meet up. And I think, because I started taking some lessons there 15 years ago, and then I just kind of ran out of time and never continued. But but they have different meetings, and they have publications you can read things in Italian.
Right. Well, I do, as I'm watching Netflix, because you can do a search and you can pull up like Italian language movies, Italian language TV. So I have been watching more of that with the Italian subtitles, because at first I was cheating and had the English subtitles on it, but I was not really learning. So now I'm watching more movies. I've watched these old Sophia Loren movies.
Oh, wow.
but it's a good way to learn because the hardest part for me for learning is the listening part of it, because it sounds to me Italians talk very fast.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like, blah, blah, like it's all running together.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so my ear, even though I can pick out words, I'm trying to translate in my head.
Yeah.
I can't do it fast enough.
Right.
And so they're on to the next conversation. I'm still trying to decipher.
Yeah.
Them.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to force myself to watch stuff in Italian so that I can just get the ear more developed. That makes sense.
I think the Italian teacher I had, and all of their Italian teachers are native Italians of some sort. He was from Genoa. And I think, I don't know if this is me reading up on it or if him saying this, but basically it's, you're trying to think in Italian rather than translate. And that's harder for older,
It is harder, and the grammar is different, because in English, we put, for example, the adjectives come in front of the noun. So you would say like black desk.
Yeah.
In Italian, it's desk black. If you're translating it literally,
yeah, right.
The adjectives come after, most of the time, the adjectives come after.
Yeah.
So, and there's a million verb tenses.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a challenge.
Yeah,
it's
that was throwing me off. And the thing about learning language young is you learn it the same way as your native language. So it's part of your brain process.
Right.
And I took Spanish in high school. I don't know why, and French in eighth grade in New Orleans. You know, there's a lot of French.
Oh, yeah.
My mother's native language was French, and I, you know, I kind of was a little bit rebellious and didn't want to do any of this. And now, you know, 60 plus years later, I can still, if I hear some basic things in French or in Spanish, I know what the sense of the conversation is, and that can kind of hang you up when you're taking Italian lessons in your 60s.
It does, because that's happened to me, because I took 2 years of Spanish in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it coming pretty easily. Like, I didn't have trouble memorizing, and it was fairly easy. And I thought I forgot pretty much all of it. But every now and then I'll be talking with my teacher, a lot of the words are very similar.
Right, right.
So I'll use the Spanish word instead of the Italian word, which she just gives me a look, but
That was happening in this class that I was taking too. there was somebody there that was not fluent, but had taken Spanish a lot. So, you know, and then they're trying to make it exactly the same, and it's not exactly the same. And I think there's a lot of Italian, I don't know if dialects is the word, but they speak, some of the words and phrases are different parts of the country.
They are. That's what I've been told. And I've been told that if you go to Sicily, it's a foreign language for people that live maybe in northern or central Italy. Because I did a tour there, a wine tour, a couple years ago, and the woman that led the tour, she said she can't. I mean, her Italian is perfect, but she said she can barely understand what they're saying in Sicily. So it's, very much dialect.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Irish and Alabama.
you know,
it'd be probably that different, even though it's both the same language.
Yeah.
This is the Boomer Randomness Podcast.
I'm talking with Heidi Phillips, a retiree who has visited Italy for months at a time. What are some differences you see between Italian life and American life?
I think that Italians are, they can be very emotional. You know, you hear them on the street, they don't talk, they talk loud, speak loudly. They can be very emotional, but I think in general, they are more laid back. Than Americans, they don't stress as much. They value family and value time. For example, there are a lot of stores and restaurants that will close midday. So here you can go to a restaurant at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and get a late lunch if you want, or early dinner.
Yeah.
That's really unusual. And you have to find a place open. Typically they'll close for the midday. Well, the lunch will end maybe at 2.
Yeah.
And then they'll be closed until about 7.
Right.
So that they go home, they do whatever they do with their families. And same thing with a lot of the shops. Will close midday for a few hours. So I think that they have a different outlook on life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think they savor things more, especially food.
Oh, yeah.
they like the food. Yeah. And the wine, they're not, you know, Italians like wine, but they don't drink wine like we drink wine here.
Right.
It's not like a drinking competition, you know, where we go out like a Friday night at
our place in the neighborhood we both live in. Yes,
it's not like that. They actually, in Florence, there are places called bars, but they're not bars. They are places where you go in the morning to grab an espresso or a little snack. You can maybe get a sandwich, panini or something, but you don't go there for alcohol.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, don't recall seeing any places similar to what in the States, what we know is like a bar where you just go and sit and have drinks. Probably in the bigger hotels, I would think, probably.
Yeah.
But not.
And that might be catering to tourists or American tourists,
exactly.
Especially. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, because here, I mean, we go to have a glass of wine, but my understanding is that wine is part of a meal.
Yeah.
More than just a singular event.
It is, but it's not to get drunk or it's to enjoy with your meal, you know, and so they may have one glass, maybe two, but
yeah. So you said you're going back for an extended stay or just a visit?
I decided last year, I thought 3 months was a long time. So I thought this year I would try to break it up a little bit. So I'm going in May for a few weeks, and then I'm going back in September. But when I go back in September, I will stay until first part of November because I want to be here for the election.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want to make sure I vote in person.
So
it'll be 2 months in the fall.
Right. And then it's kind of like a second home, except it's not at the beach 3 hours away.
It's starting to feel that way. Yeah, it's a much longer commute. Yeah, it's starting to feel that way. In fact, when I was there last year, because I've always rented like an Airbnb, in Italy, if you want to just rent an apartment, if I wanted to rent from a private landlord, you have to have a taxpayer. You have to have a tax ID number, their equivalent of our social security number.
Right.
So I actually got one while I was there. So I have an Italian tax ID number now.
Yeah.
Because you also need it if I was thinking first I would buy a cell phone, an Italian cell phone to use. So I got the tax ID number, which I've had to use a couple of times. I think the second trip last year, I sort of tried to integrate myself more into live more like an Italian.
Yeah.
For example, I went to the local grocery store and had to go up to the customer services and ask for one of the discount cards like you have at Giant or someplace, so you get items on sale.
Yeah.
So I did that, and I had to show that tax ID number for that. So I did that, and then I broke down and bought, because the power from electrical power in Europe is different. We're on 120. They're on 220?
240,
So you have to have an adapter if you're using any of your American things. You've got to have an adapter for the power. Well, if you're doing that on an extended period of time, like, for example, for women, if you're using American blow dryer, after a while, even with an adapter, you're going to burn it out.
Yeah.
It just does. It's too much.
Right.
So I broke down and I bought some. I bought an Italian, or European, rather, because it could be used in other countries.
Yeah.
Blow dryer and a curling iron. So I now have this stuff to take with me this year. So, So I was, like I said, trying to live more like I live here.
You know,
so I'm trying to do that.
Oh, that would be cool. And your language proficiency is making you more comfortable in that setting?
Yes, it's a little better. Now, the thing about Florence, and the same thing in the bigger cities where there's a lot of tourism, in the restaurants and the shops and the more touristy areas, you can get by and not know any Italian.
Yeah.
But when you start to get outside those areas, if you don't, there are some people that don't speak English. In fact, I read that Italy is on a list of countries with the lowest percentage of English-speaking people in Europe. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's down at the bottom. So it's getting better.
Yeah.
It gets me frustrated because I found that when I do try to use it, as soon as I open my mouth and start to talk, they know I'm not Italian, right? So they start to speak back to me in English. Or it has happened to me where they actually, understood what I was saying. I was saying it perfectly. And then they answered me back in Italian, but they answered me back in a way that was so quick. I couldn't, I lost it. I don't know what to say now.
Have you learned the Italian words for speak slower, please?
Yes, I do know how to say that in Italian. Yes.
We have a lot of Italian restaurants in Montgomery County, Maryland. Do you ever try to order in Italian at a local restaurant?
You know, there's a little place. Have you been to Mammalina's in Germantown?
No.
Okay, it's actually really good. It's the best Italian I've found that's closest to the real thing.
Yeah.
And there, the guy will speak to you in Italian if you talk to him. So I do try.
Any suggestions for someone who wants to visit Italy?
Wear comfortable shoes.
Yeah.
That's the first one. I did discover a service, which I found to be amazing because I was there for so long. And, the airlines charge you once you get past the first bag. Usually on an international flight, the first bag they let you take for free. But I had two big suitcases, and I actually needed a third because when I went this last time, I went in September. I left in early December, so I've changed seasons. I went from hot weather to fall weather. So I'm like, I need clothes, right?
Yeah.
So I packed. I found this company that they'll pick up your suitcase. You pack it. There's some things you have to do. They'll pick it up, ship it to wherever you're going. You don't have to do anything. It just shows up. They pick it up, shows up. So what I did was I packed a bag with some wintery type clothes, and had to pick it up from Jan's house.
Right.
Because I was already gone. And then they delivered it right there on the day that they were supposed to. So it was an amazing service. So for somebody traveling that doesn't want to travel with a lot of suitcases but feels like they may need stuff,
yeah,
it's a great type of service where you can just ship anything. They'll ship golf clubs. They'll ship pretty much anything to most countries.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, I remember the conversation when you and Jan were here talking about it. We talked about packing, and apparently you and Jan have different packing styles.
Oh, we have very different packing styles. I'm a heavy packer. I always feel like I need stuff. But what I have learned, too, for people traveling, is that there's nothing, like from a standpoint of toiletries.
Yeah.
You can buy anything you need there.
Right.
You don't have to pack all this. If you're going to be extended time and maybe you need larger than the 3 ounce, that TSA, yeah, you can buy anything there. So to take up a lot of room and weight in your suitcase,
yeah,
doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I have a feeling you and my wife Jennifer are more similar in packing styles.
Well, you know, girls got to have options,
yeah,
right?
That's right. Jennifer's getting much better at packing lighter for trips, but we still pack the car to the hilt when we do our 2 weeks at the beach.
Right.
But, you know, we've got the car. We're not trying to, you know, check things in. So it's like, yeah, bring what you want.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, you know, if you're traveling, like for me, I always end up buying things.
Right.
So I have to have a way to have room for, you know, these important things.
Oh, yeah. Heidi Phillips, is there anything else you'd like to say about travel or Italy or anything else we've talked about?
I can't think of anything offhand. I would just, like I said, recommend good shoes. Don't overpack, really, because you can buy stuff there and you want to leave. And I would recommend doing research before you go. I think to know a little bit about the country or the town or the country that you're going to, customs, it's very helpful to know things like, how do you tip?
Yeah.
Are you supposed to tip?
Right. Much different than here.
Yes. Yeah, so it's very helpful because people that travel, I think, abroad and don't do any research, they're surprised that things aren't like they are in the U.S.
I mean,
go figure, you know. But so, yeah, definitely research before you go. Maybe plan some activities. Have an idea of what you want to do.
Sounds good. Heidi, thank you very much for your insight and adventures.
Well, thank you for having me, Russ.
Here's what's coming up on Boomer Randomness.
I post new episodes on Tuesdays. I'm not sure what's coming up yet, other than the telltale signs of spring in the courtyard outside of my apartment. I do have Boomer friends who lead very interesting lives. Maybe I can get one of them to share some details.
Learn more about Boomer Life and sign up for episode updates at BoomerRandomness.com. And check us out on the Boomer Randomness Facebook. Okay, Boomer. Thanks for listening, and tell everyone you know about Boomer Randomness.